gonna be good.
Hope it don't flood.
Oh, it's what's upstream.
Good afternoon, Clear Creek County. Welcome to What's Upstream, your weekly community radio show here in at K-Goat Radio. And you're listening to KYGTL-PFM 102.7, 103.9 on your FM dial. Stream us over clearcreekradio.com. And I'm Mark Cuccinella, a co-host along with Lori Beckel. Good afternoon, Lori.
Good afternoon, Mark. Great to be here. And hello, everyone out there in K-Goat land.
So before we start with our guest today, let me just run through a couple of community service announcements. Let's start with this one. Oh, this is a big one. Clear Creek County Town Hall. That's going to be right here in the United Center, 1440 Colorado Boulevard. And that's December 8th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Dylan Roberts, your state senator, Leslie Smith, your state representative, along with the district attorney, Heidi McCollum, and the county commissioners will all be here to give updates on legislative matters. That's December 8th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. And then, just to preface our conversation today, Idaho Springs has a couple of announcements to make. First of all, the 2025 Holiday Ramble, the Mistletoe Market. Let's see, that's coming up when? The 30th? Is that Saturday? Sunday. There's indoor pop-ups going to be in various locations. We'll hear all about those in a minute. You can find your vendors in there. And let's see, that's going to be from 11 to 3 p.m. And there will be a hayride, all kinds of stuff. You're going to hear about it in just a moment here. But I also want to remind you that there's a gift card program. It's more than a gift, it's an experience. And if you buy a gift card between November 17th and December 17th, we're right in the middle of that, you'll be entered to win one of 10, wait for it, $500 Idaho Springs shopping sprees, brought to you by Park Idaho Springs. Wow, we're going to hear about that. Lori?
Yeah, we are. Well, it's an exciting holiday show today, at least the first half, and maybe the second half as well. We have with us today Sadie Schultz. Sadie is the Director of Business and Community Promotions, and not just business. And I want to say, I got to know Sadie when we were working on the community club fair. And that was a community event. We really, you know, it was very much focused on community. And Sadie was full of ideas for us, full of help for us. And it was so fun getting to know her. Nice. So her title, Business and Community Promotions, is well-earned. And we also have the esteemed mayor of Idaho Springs, Chuck Harmon, with us today. So I think we're going to talk with Sadie first, but I'm certain that Chuck will have things to chip in.
Shocking.
Imagine that.
But Sadie, I'm sure many, many of us in Idaho Springs and this area know of you, but maybe introduce yourself to us and kind of how you got started in this position.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm super excited to be here. Thanks for the invite. I am actually a business owner here in Idaho Springs. I own the Spice and Tea Exchange on Minor Street. And we're celebrating our 10-year anniversary next year, myself and Mountain Prime. We actually opened just a few months apart from each other. And I started to get involved in the community as a business owner. I've lived up in the area for a long time. And I've had complaints, to be honest. I was just complaining, and I had a fellow business owner say, you know how you solve a complaint? you get involved. You show up and you start sharing your opinions and your voices, and you start coming with solutions instead of just problems. And so I got involved in the Chamber of Commerce. I've held many roles in the Idaho Springs Chamber of Commerce throughout the years. The Chamber has gone through many phases and stages throughout the course of the 10 years that I've been here. And over the last couple of years, it's been really challenging. It was mainly supported by city funding. And when John Kane chose to move to Nederland as the town administrator there, it left a big gap in how we were managing business marketing, community promotions. We are going into a stage of our town and our city where things are changing a lot, and we needed a plan, and we didn't really have one. And so the mayor and some other business owners came up with a great idea to form the Business and Community Promotion Board. This is essentially a destination management organization funded under the city budget, under the general fund, to help support business, marketing, and promotions, and also really importantly, talk about community, talk about how making sure our residents feel informed, how they feel respected, making sure that we have an interconnected community. So that's kind of where it started, and we're coming up on 2 years now that I've been doing that.
Destination management. Now, that is an interesting term. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. So Idaho Springs has always been kind of viewed as a stopover. People stop, they stay for a little bit, and then they leave. What we've come to realize in the last couple of years is actually people are coming to Idaho Springs to stay and visit Idaho Springs. We're becoming a destination, and we're becoming more so of a destination as we have new things coming online and some of our old things being rehabbed. You know, we've got the Indian Hot Springs just doing great things over there. People are coming up, spending the day, spending the weekend up here at the Hot Springs. You have Argo coming online. You have Virginia Canyon Mountain Park. We are now a destination. So destination management is really about understanding that we need to sustainably manage the people that are coming to see us. We want to make sure they know how to visit us right, where to park, where not to park, where to use the bathroom, where to dispose of their trash, how to be low impact on our trails. You cannot expect people to treat us right if you don't give them an expectation. You really need to talk to people and say, hey, this is how we expect you to be. We love you. We're welcoming you into our story. And by giving that welcoming approach, you really help people change their mindset when they visit here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what destination management is. It's a sustainable approach.
Yeah, it sounds needed.
Yes.
And I know I live up on a forest road up York Gulch, and we have lots of four-wheeler traffic up there. Many people who seem not to understand the rules, and that they really cannot access the forest roads by driving their four-wheelers up York Gulch. That's illegal. The county doesn't allow that. And so destination management rings very true to me as something badly needed.
All throughout the community, that's for sure. I think there's, for years, Clear Creek County and the municipalities really didn't try to manage their visitor expectations at all. There's no signage on the county roads, for instance, that indicates there's no parking. There's no trailhead information by and large throughout the community, and these are people gained an idea that if they came to Clear Creek County, it was the Wild West, and you pretty much did whatever you wanted, and that needs to be managed. Throughout the community. And, you know, you can see Idaho Springs, of course, with the visitor load that you're having here, but Guanella Pass, Grays and Tories, you know, there's North Empire, St. Mary's. There's so many areas you could point to and say, yeah, that needs more management. But
right. So I would hope that the larger areas in Clear Creek County will take a page from your playbook.
Yeah, and what's beautiful is that we've just hired, the county just hired a new director of Clear Creek County Tourism, and Jess is an amazing asset to that vision and that mission, and she is all about collaboration. She and I are working hand in hand to address some of those very concerns that you both just brought up, because if we're all singing the same song, it really makes a difference. You know, when the county is singing a different song than the municipality, you get mixed messages out there. So it's really important. And Jess and I are really talking about stewardship and really low impact, helping educate visitors. You know, Colorado, from a top-down approach, has Do Colorado Right. And we're relaunching the Do Clear Creek Right campaign and really talking about how to make sure visitors and residents understand how to really respect the nature that we love so much. I mean, we're 70% or more public land here in Clear Creek County. Mm-hmm. That's a huge amount of public land that we really want to make sure is sustainably protected for our future generations so that that can be protected. So I know that's an initiative of the County Tourism Board with the new director, and she's just getting her feet wet and getting on board. I know 2026 will be a big thing. We'll see a lot of initiatives in that area.
Yeah. If I may, Chuck, you know, being the mayor, you take that leadership position and direct the agency, the departments within your government. And what are your thoughts on the direction of this initiative?
Well, I'm very pleased. As Sadie has indicated, we are singing the same song with the county.
Mm-hmm.
The county has been an absolute pleasure to deal with. I don't think we have been this close with county management probably in many years. It does also help that Sadie and Jess work hand in glove. They've always worked well together. Jess was the former director of marketing for Georgetown until the county hired her. Exceptional talent on both sides. We're lucky to have Sadie and Jess both. But just the fact that they work well together, I think it just makes it easier to communicate to people, particularly visitors. Not it isn't so much of a local issue. I would say the majority of locals, both in the county and here in Idaho Springs, they get it. They're going to pack out the trash. Typically, we would find that they would, if they could, they would go on the less busy days, just so it's more enjoyable. You really need to reach out to the visitors, as Sadie was indicating, just to let them know what we're expecting. Because you'll find 90%, maybe even 95% of the people, they're good people. And they will know that we don't necessarily want 1,400 people coming up on a weekend to do Grays and Torrey's Peak. It just, if you can, for goodness sake, come up on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And it just makes the management of our areas much, much better. And I will say, especially compared to my younger days, I see far less trash. People are more cognizant. In fact, I would even go so far as to say, quite often, if somebody were to see a Slim Jim wrapper or something, they would actually lean over and take it out with them. I mean, I'm encouraged by what we've seen. Mm-hmm. I would also point, and here's a just kind of a personal note I think we can all appreciate. I live about 8 houses from the Argo development, and we were really worried that the bike park folks, enthusiastic, wanting to enjoy themselves in the bike park, would be parking in close proximity there on Virginia Street, Riverside Drive, right, and Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we put up resident parking only. We made it quite obvious. It really has not been a problem.
Good.
People read it, they get it, and they go to appropriate places. So I'm just sharing that. If you reach out and you have proper education, you'll find the overwhelming majority of the people will comply.
So is that kind of your objective in the near future is to put information out there of what expectations might be? Are there longer term goals that the city might have regarding management of visitors?
There are a big issue, of course, in our town is parking. The Argo is not going to be able to open up with the new gondola without the 157 parking spaces that are their own.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a number, I believe it's 410,000, 410,000 visitors in a year. And the way that we've arrived at this, if they get to that, they're going to have to build an additional multi-level parking structure. Mm-hmm. Because the last thing you want is more pollution. And frankly, you also don't want guests that come and are frustrated. And when I say pollution, often you see this, where people make two or three laps around the pattern, can't find a space. There's nothing as inefficient, really, right, as an internal combustion engine on idle. So we're here in this narrow valley. Let's not coop those fumes up here, but have adequate parking where folks can know there's a spot for them to come and park and enjoy yourself. So you're going to see, we just opened up 51 more spaces for those of us old enough. It was the old Get Gas building. Some may know it as the Sunshine Cafe. But back in the day when they used to rent videos, right?
And make chicken.
Right, exactly. Fried chicken. Exactly. And yep. So we opened up 51 there. That's a sign of more to come. And just to put things in perspective, I happen to know Bojo's has about 440,000 visitors. And
a little bit more than that, actually.
Well, and I think most of us, we don't really see if Bojo's is having a busy day or a slow day.
They're in the back, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that we should have a similar experience where the gondola will be open at least 10 hours a day. Mm. And when you look at 2.3 people per car, each space turning over several times a day with 157 spaces, it should be adequate. That's what we're aiming for. But you're going to see the city is actively pursuing additional surface parking. And that's why I bring up, we just striped 51 more. If folks are wondering why they can't pull in, it's just because it was a really steep drop off into the creek, and we wanted to get some roll off protection before but that should be
no
in
cars
place.
In the creek.
No. All that's right. More of that pollution that we don't want.
And I think what Mayor is speaking to is, you know, we have really good partners in Argo, in Colorado Mountain Bike Association, in a lot of the nonprofits in this community to really make sure that we're sending the right message out. Carpool up here. Hey, take Bustang up here. Hey, come up here and do staycations. We are really working on the communication message to talk about the importance of understanding that, yeah, we do have limited parking. Also, we don't have limited parking today. Mm-hmm. We don't have limited parking on a Wednesday in the middle of April. Yep. Come and visit us then. This is what I talk about, destination management. This is not just about marketing us and bringing more visitors in all the time. And Argo is a key partner in that stewardship plan. Argo has their own destination management stewardship plan. They want to make sure that they are being good partners in this community. It's a priority for them that they don't want to be overwhelming our services. I mean, a lot of people don't realize, but they're not even tapping into our infrastructure. They built their own water treatment center at the top of the Argo. Mm-hmm. They're not even getting into our system because they want to be good partners. So they're talking about the importance of visitor management and communicating about carpooling, communicating about taking the bus up here, communicating about taking shuttle systems up here. So they're really actively working. And same thing with COMBA, you know, Colorado Mountain Bike Association. They have such a large reach into that mountain biker community. And they post one thing that says, hey, don't do this. And we immediately see a change in behavior.
I think that's absolutely true, because there was kind of an outcry as the mountain park opened its trails. And all of a sudden we noticed all these cars parked everywhere with bike racks. And there was kind of an outcry. And I definitely saw the impact when COMBA actually contacted their membership and said, you are visitors in this community, and extended parking. And now there are people parking, you know, down at the ball fields. even in riding their bikes up. So
yeah, and we're working on some really auxiliary parking. You know, the nice thing about the mountain biking community is they have no problem biking an extra quarter of a mile, yeah, half a mile, yeah, in, and we have the greenway that's complete through our community. So we are actively working on some auxiliary. It is. Well, through Idaho Springs, the greenway is complete.
Right. Okay.
Yep. We're not quite all the way down, you know, into Golden yet, but that is a goal that will happen soon, which is another great way. Hey, bike up.
Yeah.
Do the park, all these different
I don't know how soon that's going to happen, but...
Well, you know, we'll vision see. And goals.
Soon is a subjective
open,
kind of term.
It's adjacent.
They did open another section, though.
Just, yes.
A couple Fridays ago.
Yes, right. Yeah. But that's down in the canyon a ways. And in our section of the canyon, I'm on the Open Space Commission, so I know this, our section of the canyon is... financing is going to be a tough call. Yeah. Hidden Valley's going to be taken care of through CDOT's contributions around the... you know, the highway remodeling and all that. So, you know what? Can we save some of this infrastructure stuff for later in the show? I want to get hear about this weekend and all the events.
This is such a fun time. It's the close to our event season. Obviously, Idaho Springs has become more robust in the events we have. Obviously, some are visitor focused and some are resident and local focused. This weekend is super community driven, and it like Halloween. It's one of my favorite events that we do. Traditionally, Idaho Springs has always held a tree lighting. It's the Saturday after Thanksgiving, always. A couple years back, me being me, decided we need to make it bigger. So we now do a whole holiday ramble, which incorporates the tree lighting, which happens the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And then Sunday, we do a maker's market. This year looks a little bit different just because of some challenges we're all facing off with. However, all of the great things are still happening. So on Saturday, starting at 3:00, Santa will be available at the Club Hotel and the mayor for meet and greet and pictures. There'll be elf, there'll be hot drinks, kids crafts, lots of fun things to do at the Club Hotel Annex starting at 3:00 on Saturday after Thanksgiving. Part of our Shopping Small Means More initiative, all of the small businesses downtown will be having great specials and lots of giveaways happening. Great time to buy, my plug for the Idaho Springs gift card that you slightly mentioned. We launched our Idaho Springs gift card program. This is a gift card that you can purchase online. It spends like a regular Visa gift card. You can use it at all of our participating locations. Right now, almost every single retailer in Idaho Springs is authorized to accept this gift card. If you buy a gift card before December 17th, you get entered to win a $500 shopping spree. I've got 10 of those to give away.
$500.
Yes, wow. $500. And you don't have to spend that in one place. You can spend that $500, $500 at Marigold, or $100 at Marigold, and $100 at Gilded Fox, and $100 at Wild Grape. It's great because you can spread that out. But on Saturday, the mayor is going to be there, all decked out. We have our historic carolers present at Citizens Park. They'll be doing a caroling from the Central City Opera. Carolers are coming down to, make it more festive. We'll have a fire pit, a nice warming station in Citizens Park. So the night will end with us either, we'll probably be reading the story at club. Don't you think, Mayor?
I do. And, I think live reindeer will be present.
There will be a thing. Will be, whether you think it's a reindeer, you let me know. We have some surprises coming. You know, we have lovely community partners in Tommyknockers and Laughing Valley Ranch with Bill. So we've got excitement planned.
Is he the Santa?
He is not the Santa this year. He has some other engagements to be Santa elsewhere. However, Santa this year, he was Santa last year, and he did a great job.
He did do a great job.
And there's some really exciting surprises for the kids. So again, that starts at 3:00 at Club Hotel Annex and finishes around 5:30, 6:00 by us flipping the big switch and lighting the lights in Citizens Park. It's great. I know Mountain Prime is doing a locals special that night to kind of just say thank you to everybody. But there will be a lot of fun. And then on Sunday, we're doing the mistletoe market. And traditionally, this market is held at the Argo at the Landing. However, with the construction happening right now, we decided to move it downtown. However, it's going to be freezing. So I have great community partners that have decided to allow us to host vendors inside. So you'll be able to shop at several different locations. Club Hotel will have vendors, Bojo's will have vendors, and Tommyknockers will have vendors. So you'll be able to go to those different locations, shop our local makers, as well as there'll be a hayride going from downtown to the Argo starting around noon. There'll be hot drinks. There'll be traveling elves. There'll be fun little photo opportunities. It will be a great opportunity. We're going to be doing a holiday map where you can go travel around to the different locations and get a sticker. If you get all three stickers, then you get entered to win one of those $500 shopping sprees. You don't even have to buy a gift card.
So we've had this incredibly mild fall and early winter season.
Of course,
I guess,
right?
You call it winter season. And now we're going to have a blast of actual winter weather this weekend. I just got to say, as a lifelong winter enthusiast myself, the secret sauce is long underwear. Put them on.
Yes.
And you'll be just fine.
You'll be just fine. Yes. Well, we'll have lots of warming stations. Both Bojo's and Tommyknockers will be having some holiday special bites and warming beverages for the shoppers. So we'll make sure everybody stays warm. It's definitely going to be a chilly weekend. However, what better way to start the kick off
That's
the
right.
holiday season
That's
than
right.
with
some... It will feel like the holidays.
It will totally feel like the holidays. And again, I think the importance of Idaho Springs, we really highlight what it means to shop small. Shopping small really means more here. We have such great makers that are being featured in this market, as well as our small businesses here that are locally owned and operated. And really, when you spend in Idaho Springs, your dollar stays here. And that's a huge, huge benefit right now. Mm-hmm. And this community, we really benefit from our dollars being spent within the city. So this is a fun way to highlight that.
I'll just mention that if you are participating in the national boycott, which starts today and goes the next week, and it's a great opportunity to instead spend your dollars locally with these smaller businesses. Sadie, you were telling me that 30% of our local businesses are the sole income for families here.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's actually a really rare statistic here in Idaho Springs. I'm really proud of it. 30% of our small businesses are the primary income provider for a family in Idaho Springs. And that's just that's a shocking statistic in this day and age. Most communities have a lot of corporations in them. We actually have a very, very, very small percentage.
And this is true throughout the county as well.
Yes.
You go to Georgetown or Empire, even Silver Plume, you're gonna see locally owned and operated businesses.
Absolutely.
It's so nice not having a big box store here.
Yeah, it's great to be able to really... And I mean,
from a tax perspective, maybe not, but from a... From a living point of view, it's wonderful.
Hmm. I think it's great because really what it does is that you get to know the people that you're supporting. Yeah. You know, I'll boost myself for just a minute. You go to the Spice and Tea and you buy something, you know who you're buying it from. You know, I'm very present. Same thing with Marigold and Mountain Remedy and the Sleigh Makers. I mean, the Meadery. We have so many amazing makers in this community. Things that are produced right here in Idaho Springs. That is so cool.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to highlight. So those are the stories that I'm telling. That's really where we're focusing, is really welcoming people into our story. And this weekend is really about uplifting those stories and supporting those business owners and those local makers. And they make great gifts. You know, you and I were talking, who needs more things? Well, sometimes you need a thing that's made with love from one of your neighbors.
I'm stopping at Sleigh Makers on my way home today, and I'm going to pick up a bottle to take to my sons tomorrow for Thanksgiving.
Absolutely perfect. That is the way to do it, is you're giving gifts that are really meaning more. You know, this isn't you buying something at Walmart. This is you buying something from someone you know made it, or you knew took the time and energy to bring it in for you. It's really an awesome community.
Share the story around the table, Mark.
Yeah.
You know the maker of that mead.
Yeah. Well, we sure do. And he's a generous guy and gives back to the community everything and more that we may give to him.
Yeah. He's just such a wonderful partner. I mean, that's the wonderful part about this job is I get to really meet all of the small business owners in this community and really talk to them. I mean, I'll do one more plug for the new Visit Idaho Springs CO.com website. We finally have a Visit Idaho Springs website. For the longest time, we've not had one. We've had a city website. And as I like to tell the mayor, the city website is not an actual website for marketing and talking to people or community members. So, hey, community members, when you ask me, how do I know what's going on? I promise, go to the visitidahospringsco.com website and you will know all the events that are happening in Idaho Springs. But to bring it up, Kent made that possible. I could not have done that without his expertise. And he did it almost like a volunteer. I mean, I could have paid him way more. And he was like, no, I want to do this because we're working together here.
Yeah. Let's just give a quick shout out to some of the other longtime supporters of community events. Bojo's, a chip bearer for sure, Tommy Knockers, just to name two obvious ones. But there are many others, and I don't mean to slight anyone else. But those two, you know, have stepped up so many times throughout the years.
I mean, talk about this whole thing. I had a whole market planned on 16th Street. I was planning on hosting vendors outside. And then somebody texts me and is like, hey, do you realize it's going to be 22 degrees and snowing on Sunday? And I was like, huh. What? And I'm like, what am I going to do? We don't have a third space that's big enough to host 20 vendors. Yeah. I wish we did. Maybe we will in the future on our goals list. Right now, we don't. So I'm like, oh no. And immediately someone was like, you should just split them up, put them in Tommyknockers and put them in Bojo's. And I was like, oh, that's such a burden on them. That immediately both Steve and Chip said, absolutely not a problem. Are they charging me anything to occupy a part of their business on a Sunday after Thanksgiving when they will be busy? No. They're like, of course, absolutely. Come on in.
Just like the Club Hotel. Just new to town.
New to town. And they have been amazing partners. They, you know, and that's another thing. Lori and I worked on a local discount program. I mean, we have so many of our businesses that really want their locals to understand, hey, we'll give you a discount. Just let us know you're local. Like, that's all we need to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, we really have businesses supporting our community in a way that is so amazing. We couldn't do it without them. I mean,
well, thanks to all of them. And we're going to have to take a break here in a moment. But is there any last thoughts on this weekend?
Just come out, and I know it's going to be cold. Stop into all the businesses.
Wear your long underwear.
Yeah, wear your long underwear. Go to visitidahospringsco.com. Buy your Idaho Springs gift cards. They're a great gift. So that's all.
Chuck, will you be giving out autographs?
Nobody would want them, I can assure you. But I have a great tip to give out.
Okay.
And that is, Slaymakers happen to be my neighbors, best neighbors you could ever ask for. But I got to give a plug to the raspberry mead is out of this world. Even if you think you're not a mead fan, wait till you taste the raspberry.
Okay.
Okay.
So. Well, all right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, folks. We'll be back in, a minute or so. Thank you. All right, everyone. This is What's Upstream here at Clear Creek Radio, KYGT LPFM 102.7, 103.9 on your FM dial, streaming over clearcreekradio.com. Check out our website. We've got a number of shows archived back for the last 4 or 5 years are archived on that website, and you can hear Chuck numerous times in those archives. So yeah. I'm your host, Mark Cuccinella, co-hosting with Lori Beckel. Lori, it's a pleasure to be here with our esteemed guests.
It sure is. And gosh, I was just saying to Sadie, her enthusiasm is contagious here. Mm-hmm. So
thanks, guys.
I'm sure you'll be around. You're usually in some kind of costume. So as people come out this weekend, find Sadie.
I'll have my witch hat on. You won't be able to miss me.
Okay. Find Sadie and also congratulate her on a job well done. So
yeah.
I think, Mark, we're going to turn to some conversation with Chuck about some of the projects.
Yeah, you know, we try to have Chuck in at least a couple of times a year to give us a state of the city, an update on some of the projects, both public and private projects around town, and take a look over the horizon at some of the projects that maybe people can look forward to or against. The one that comes to mind first for me, because I see it 5 days a week when I'm at the rec center, is the apartments that looks like they're making on the old ball field. They're making quite a bit of progress there. Let's just start by asking you, do you know, are they on schedule?
I believe they're real close. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to start some rentals coming up in the January, February timeframe. And that the last building that was completed, I will refer to as the third building, that may be more of a spring mm-hmm. kind of availability. I would also, I think it'd be reasonable to expect with 119 to rent that they probably would take several months to rent all of those out. I think it would be very reasonable.
I think they're planning on a staggered approach on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what kind of, do you know the price range of the apartments? I'm sure they have, single one-bedroom, two-bedroom, three-bedroom, and various prices.
And I will tell you, most are of the one- and two-bedroom varieties.
I see.
Though the two-bedrooms, I think folks will find, are actually set up for convenience of maybe you have a child or, is oftentimes the case here, a roommate. So they are two-bedroom, two-baths, mm-hmm. Which is a lot more convenient, yeah. And also makes it more affordable if you have somebody to split the rent with. Just to answer your question about the rental prices, I have not seen an official sheet. My belief is they're going to be more in the $1,500 to $2,400 range, depending on how large of a unit you need. Mm-hmm. I think we all know that we have difficulty finding housing, and we're not firing on all cylinders because oftentimes these small businesses that we were just talking about can't adequately staff. And hopefully this helps out.
I know another housing project here in the community is the Habitat Housing. What can you tell us about the status of that project?
Well, what a great partner. That is a terrific charity to donate to. And we've got like four more that are still coming online. I know just driving by, they're in the framing process. I would look forward to them in the summer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they do everything that you would want to partner with. They, for example, they vet the people. These are folks that you would want to be neighbors with. They already pre-qualify people in a certain income range. And then there's a 30-year deed restriction. So they're not making a profit because real estate's going up. They mm-hmm. would have to sell to someone else in the similar average median income. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it really is something that I think a lot, well, not a lot, there were a few people in the beginning that were terrified they were going to be living next to the projects. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I don't believe anyone feels that way now.
Oh, that's good to hear.
These fit well in the community. And these are folks you'd like to be neighbors with. So welcome.
And they put sweat equity in, right?
Absolutely.
Isn't there a requirement for sweat equity?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, I want to say it's 400 hours.
It's considerable. Yeah. So they've become community members before they've moved in.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point, Lori. I will say from experience, direct experience, I live in Empire.
Yes.
And not only were the houses, do they fit into our community perfectly, but they had to make new lot sizes, but the house and the smaller lots, they all, you know, they fit the grid pattern that Empire is built in, and they aesthetically are very very pleasing to look at, and not an impact, a negative impact in any way to look at or to be associated around. And I got to say, the people that I've met that live there, I don't know everyone, but I've met people who, there's a woman who works for the county, there's another person who's a school teacher. There are positive assets to our community, and I couldn't agree more, Lori, that Habitat for Humanity, the folks that are living there, they fit our community. And Chuck, you're right, it's a great thing to become involved in. If you have time or materials or money that you can donate to those projects, we certainly could use more of that kind of thing in Clear Creek County.
I couldn't agree more, and I'm very familiar with that project in Empire, mm-hmm. and it really is very much a gold standard. It fits the community so well.
It's amazing.
I think Empire was a little ahead of us. So in a way, you were more of a trailblazer in the county, but we could see that was going very well.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to get off on that tangent, but anyway, so that's good. That's more housing in Clear Creek County. It also requires more parking. And so I know we've spoke about this, the apartments before, and you assured me there's going to be plenty of parking on site for the people. But, I've got this black cloud that follows me around, and I can't help but think, what if, you know, I was a firefighter and a paramedic, what if, and so what if there is overflow? What if they have visitors and there's no place for them to park? What sort of accommodations will they require in the neighborhood?
Well, I think there can be some economic consequences. For example, you can incentivize or disincentivize parking. And mm-hmm. This is up to them what they want to charge, if they charge at all. But I will give you an example. You really want to discourage somebody from having three or four cars, something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest then, you know, after two cars, it starts becoming extremely expensive to live there. You register a car with the building, and I know it's pretty common. It's more of a metro area thing, but maybe it starts out at $25 a month. A second car might be $100 a month.
My understanding is that they are planning on regulating the parking within their resident structure. Mm-hmm. There'll be designated visitor parking within the complex over there at the mm-hmm. Four Points development and the Fieldhouse apartments. And my understanding with their management team is that they will be regulating that. So there will be designated resident parking program, and mm-hmm. you'll have to register. And if you have visitors, there will also be a process there. So from my understanding, they are very aware how much of parking is a sensitive subject, and they are wanting to hit the ground from a positive aspect and not have a problem yeah. at the beginning.
And I'm thinking a couple years from now when they're at full occupancy, if there's overflow parking on the public rights of way, what would be the city's reaction to that?
We really want to discourage that, and I can quickly put a fine point on it. When Riverbend opened up with their 47 units, mm-hmm. there had been only about 14 mobile homes right. where Riverbend is. Mm-hmm. And they wanted reduced parking. And it's 1.5 cars per unit. We allowed 1.45, which is the lowest. I mean, we're really splitting hairs here. Mm-hmm. But the concern in the community was, well, those 47 units, they're going to invade our neighborhood with their extra cars. And it never did happen.
Oh, I mean, that's great.
And so that's good to know. We did hold these new apartments on the ball field to the 1.5. Mm-hmm. That has been our standard. So we believe, since it has been adequate here in the city, that it should hold up. And we absolutely are very intolerant, as we would be with any developer pushing parking off onto the public streets and yeah. inconveniencing our residents.
I suppose your parking folks could manage that to some degree with tickets, right, Lori?
Yeah, I remember when you were on with us leading up to the election, because I remember you made your big announcement with us
oh, yes.
on the radio, mm-hmm. And you were reelected as the mayor. Mm-hmm. You mentioned, though, that the resident parking was also going to be monitored a little bit more, and that there would not be, you were going to begin to crack down, I believe, on non-registered cars
yes.
in the resident parking. How's that going?
Yes, and I got a number for you. We've had 108 local tows. So these are vehicles that we've all seen sitting around for months and months and months, not moving.
Years.
Yes. And admittedly, there were a couple violators for sure that you just wondered if you were ever going to live long enough to see the vehicle move. And our chief just recently gave us an update. There have been 108. And I think we probably would have guessed this. It is easily in the 90 percentile of those owners do not come back for the vehicle. Mm-hmm. So once they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah.
So it did open up about 100 plus spots.
That was a good start.
Yeah, it was a good start, right.
So they got a free tow for a car that they don't want anymore?
Well,
or are they charged the tow?
Well, I do believe in most cases the tow company has a recovery rate where they're keeping a portion, if not all, of the proceeds. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that that's a money-making operation, because it is very time-consuming, and they have to store the vehicle for quite a bit of time.
Sure.
But we do have contracts with tow companies where they're obligated to tow what's in the city limits. The thing that really costs them money is every great once in a while we have an abandoned motorhome, mm-hmm. because they get virtually nothing for those. Mm-hmm. And they can easily lose up to $1,000 towing one of those things.
Wow.
So at the first of the year, is there going to be a renewed effort for monitoring parking? Is that, did I hear you say that earlier?
Off
mic.
We have adopted some stronger regulations so that if you have an unregistered vehicle mm-hmm. that's not on private property, and that's the big qualifier here, mm-hmm. if it's in your driveway, that's your business. But you can't have it out on the public right-of-way taking away public parking. Mm-hmm. So please, and it's going to be light. We don't just want you to come home from work and find that your beloved project car has been towed. I'm sure it will be red tagged for several days. Mm-hmm. We just want people to register your vehicle. And if it's just a junker that's never going to move, then by all means, get rid of it. And we don't want to have to, take a hard line. Like I said, we've already got rid of 108. After January the 1st, there will be some additional enforcement. We're just looking for junk vehicles that are taking up public right away.
So let's review the process for registering your vehicle. Can we do that?
Yeah, absolutely we can. So to register your vehicle, super simple. When we revised from the city's perspective the parking contract, we requested strongly that Interstate Parking create a new parking portal that's easy for visitors or for residents to use. So residents can now register for their own parking portal. You go to visitidahospringsco.com and find it there, or you can go to Park Idaho Springs and find it there. It's really simple. There, all you need is a username, an email, and a phone number. It sets you up like a password system. You upload. There's, I think, four different choices to prove your residency. You upload those into the system and you put your license plate in and you're done.
Define resident.
You lease here. And again, resident doesn't mean just Idaho Springs. We're talking county. So this isn't just for Idaho Springs residents. This is county, all of Clear Creek County. I think water bill, lease, Xcel energy bill. If you're a roommate, you can submit like a document that has like a roommate agreement. You can submit an employer stub that says that, you know, a lot of people have a hard time. So I think we have up to four choices on there for proof of residency within the county. You upload those in. And then it's all automated from there. The nice improvement, this was the biggest complaint we had. Well, I had two big complaints. One big complaint, how do I know that my permit expires? Because they do expire every 2 years, so you do need to renew. And there wasn't really a system to notify you, hey, in 30 days your permit is going to expire. Now that's automated. You'll receive either an email or a text message, however you prefer your preference, that says, hey, you need to go in and renew. All you need to go in, re-upload your document, and you're done again. Another great improvement to the platform is a visitor registration. Prior, when you had a visitor coming to Idaho Springs, say you had your mom coming to stay with you and she had a rental car, and we didn't want you to have her rental car paying for parking, and she could park in resident parking. Obviously, she's coming to visit you. However, you had to email Interstate Parking and you had to wait and blah, 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 and it took time. Now, in your resident parking portal, you can register your own visitors and it's real time. So you can go into your portal and say, hey, I've got 5 people visiting me for Thanksgiving, and you plug in their plates that day, and then they're set to go.
Let's just remind everyone what you just said about this being countywide.
Yep.
If you can prove your residence anywhere in the county, then you go through this easy process, and Idaho Springs will welcome you.
Absolutely.
And you can park anywhere.
You can park anywhere. That's another change we made. It used to be kind of like you had to park in specific areas. Now you can park anywhere in Idaho Springs as a resident for free parking. And then another thing is if you are not a person who is super tech savvy, we know we got them out there, people that are not a big fan of technology. We do have parking registration clinics where you can come in to the library, and we have an Interstate Parking staff member that will help you get registered. My office at 1630 Minor, you can come in and talk to me. I'm upstairs at 1630 Minor, office 244. If I'm there, I'll happy to help you. Or you can always email Park Idaho Springs and set up an appointment, and they will come and help you as well.
Okay. Very accommodating.
Very nice. Nice. Thank you. And an hour goes by so fast.
It does.
Could I just ask Mark about, did I recently see a community meeting is happening? Is it about the Carlson property?
That meeting is coming up on December 1st. So we were talking about housing. The Carlson property is owned by the school district. Mm-hmm. It's not a city-owned property. Of course, the city has a voice in the fact that they have to go through Dillon and planning and all of that. However, they are required to have a community meeting. So that is December 1st at 7 o'clock at City Hall. It's the proposed contract for the Carlson project. So
that's a big one. Thanks for bringing that up, Lori.
Yeah, it will be really important for the community to speak because it is housing.
Let's just emphasize how important it is to show up and have your voice heard. It's amazing what a difference that makes. After years of of being involved in public meetings. I just, even to this day, I can't believe it. I'll walk in one person, I voice a concern of some kind, and now it's on the agenda, or on the radar, I should say. So show up to a meeting like that if you're interested, and I know you are, in the outcome of that property. Show up to that meeting.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. And it is slated to be an affordable housing project. Mm-hmm. They're looking at an average of about 55 or 60% of average median income.
Oh, wow.
Well, that would be very helpful. I hope they can pull that off. We've got just a few minutes left, about 5 minutes or so. And, Chuck, I wanted to get an update on the police remodel, that station.
Sure. We're thinking late in the summer, probably in August time frame. But it is going to be fully outfitted. It's going to just be all of the modern policing that we would hope for in our community. And what a wonderful upgrade from the double-wide mobile home they're currently working out of on the East End. As I had mentioned, they don't even have a private interview room for, like, victims of sexual assault or something that's just unimaginable. Yeah. In this day and age, we would not have something like that. So this is going to fix it.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I think it turned out to be a bigger project than originally envisioned.
You're exactly right. We did hit an oil tank about a month and a half ago from the old gas station. Fortunately,
man, that's been a while. Wow.
Yeah, it was on the smaller side. Think like a couch. I think it was from when they used to
dump oil.
Exactly. We had CDPHE come out, and they had us remove some contaminated soil, and we ran into some additional foundations that were not hit when we were doing the geological inspection, because there's only like three core drills on a site that small.
Did you find any bones?
No.
It's not an archaeological site in that way.
yeah, we probably would have called in somebody on that one. But no, fortunately, although that was a great question because it was a Chinese restaurant also. We may have had some bones, but nothing that came up. I do also want to say, I think your listeners might find this a little interesting, that the old movie Downhill Racer with Robert Redford, I think is about a 1968, 1969 movie. It actually played a part because we were trying to figure out what these giant metal tubes in the ground. They were really thick-walled. These tubes were like a foot across and more than half of an inch thick steel.
Wow.
And our police chief went and was doing a little investigation, and he was going through the movie, because in the movie they go around this corner when it was the gas station, and he could clearly see there was a billboard sign for people to be able to see from the interstate, and those were the steel tubes that were in the ground that held it up. So mystery solved, because once we hit that tank, naturally we were afraid, oh, great, what are these, lids for something else? You know? Mystery solved.
Oh, good. Well, what else is happening in the way of staff? I know you've recently had some people leave, and we've had additions. So how's the staffing at the city and on the police department, let's say?
Well, we have one vacancy at the police department. Uh-huh. And I will say a great addition has been Sadie. We went from about $135,000 budget for marketing, which is pretty anemic, to a much more robust, it's closer to $300,000. The interstate traffic here on I-70 is down 11.25%, which is huge. Mm-hmm. So you would think by all rights, the city sales tax would be down 11.25%. They often mirror each other, and we're actually up 2.19.
Well, that's good news.
So it is good news. And I think that Sadie really has been doing a terrific job. It's taxpayer money well spent, particularly in the shoulder season, quieter, as Sadie's pointed out. You know, we can even things out. We have plenty of parking right now. Let's take advantage of that. and lots of things for visitors, like our block parties were very popular. And when I say it's geared towards locals, please understand that's everybody in the county. You're a local, welcome, welcome, love to have you. Okay. Come enjoy.
Yeah. Any last thoughts, Sadie?
Oh, I just am so grateful for everything you guys do. And
thank you.
Public radio and small town radio is just such a warm place to tune in and to listen. And I definitely appreciate all the work you guys do. And thanks for having
me.
Well,
if you want to make sure that everybody hears you guys, this show repeats Friday at noon.
There you go.
And then it'll be archived. So, yeah. So if anybody didn't hear you today, they can on Friday.
Thanks for taking time in your busy schedules to come in and speak with us. And thanks to all of you for listening in. I'll be back Saturday morning with Morning with Mozart Show. I'm going to play Carmina Burana in the second hour. You don't want to miss that. Okay. See you next week. Bye.
It's gonna be